The idea that we could take a theory and connect it to assessment was not something I had in mind at all in the early years. You don't just sit down on a Saturday afternoon and make up a test. There are very systematic ways to do that. And I decided, how do you really make up a test of this sort?
That's Dr. Theodore Milan recalling how he first came to the idea of linking his personality theory with an assessment. You're listening to Into the Mind from Pearson Clinical Assessment, and I'm your host, Evan Johnson. In our last episode, Dr. Milan explained how his evolutionary theory found its origins in the work of Charles Darwin.
I started out really with Skinner and his notions about reinforcement, and I saw that Skinner really had borrowed from people in the 1880s who had borrowed their ideas from Darwin. And I said, well, let me go back to Darwin himself.
In this episode, we'll hear much more about what Darwin inspired Dr. Milan to create, the thinking that has come to be known as his personality theory. And we'll hear how he came to turn this foundational theory of personality into the assessment of personality. But we'll start with why he thought of this approach as an evolutionary theory.
Well, I call it an evolutionary theory because it's based upon three polarities. They're really bipolarities. Pleasure and pain is crucial. Positive and negative reinforcement. Whether one is active, like animals have emerged to be in life, or whether one is passive, or one adopts the plant method of adaptation. So you have pleasure pain, active animal, passive plant, and then self-other. Three polarities. If you put those three polarities together and begin to combine them in different ways, you begin to describe human personalities. So human personalities may be geared to the avoidance of pain. You actively try to get away from pain, and that becomes the center of your life. And these are called avoidant personalities. Or you're focused on others, but you're passively dependent upon them. That is, you're passive in your style, like a potted plant, but you're focused on other people taking care of you, nurturing you, supporting you. And that really represents the dependent personality, who, in a sense, doesn't do much, but leans on others to take care of them. And so we can combine these three bipolarities, pleasure, pain, active, passive, self and other, in different ways. And by so doing, you end up with different descriptions of different kinds of persons. The dependent kind of person, the avoidant kind of person, or the antisocial or the narcissist, and so on and so forth.
Connecting his theory to an assessment was not something Dr. Milan had in mind in the beginning. But after the publication in 1969 of his book Modern Psychopathology, he began to receive letters and phone calls asking how practitioners could best apply his ideas to their work with patients.
How do I appraise people as avoidants or narcissists or antisocials using your concepts and models? A lot of people are quite taken by the fact that by understanding these individual characteristics, you can treat your patients better than you could previously. You can understand them better. But I didn't have anything really to offer them. It's a very complicated procedure. You don't just sit down on a Saturday afternoon and make up a test. There are very systematic ways to do that. And I decided to read up, how do you really make up a test of this sort? And so I started out with the notion of you first have to have a good conceptual idea of the nature of what it is that you want to test. So you have to describe what is it that characterizes a narcissist, an antisocial, an avoidant, a schizoid, and so on. And you set up a series of statements that characterize, for example, the schizoid. I don't find much interest in life. I wake up in the morning and I'm not sure what I want to do in the day. I find most things that other people get excited about boring and dull. Things like that characterize the schizoid.
A quick reminder that you're listening to Into the Mind, a conversation with Dr. Theodore Milan from Pearson Clinical Assessment. When we left off, Dr. Milan was talking about the interesting and challenging process of turning his personality theory into a working test.
So we used the theory as a descriptor, as a framework, and then we looked at what items other people had developed or had people written about in psychiatric books and manuals and the like. So, for example, for the avoidant personality, which was a term that I coined in conjunction with the theory, we ended up with about 350, 375 items. If we looked at the dependent, again, 400 items. The borderline, a variant of a more serious type, 550 items, and so on and so forth. And we made up these lists, avoidant, and I had 350 items. A lot of them were duplicates. A lot of them really were exact duplicates with from the 16PF to the MMPI to the Bell inventory, et cetera, et cetera. And we began eliminating things that were duplicates. And then we put them together. This is going to be the avoidance scale. There are 183 items here. This is going to be the dependence scale, and it's going to have 175 items. After we eliminated duplication, refined them, we then went through a Q-sort technique to make sure that people agreed in terms of what they truly represented. We ended up with a test that had about 1,170, 1,180 items. That was kind of long. Would have been pretty devastating for most people to sit there filling out a 1,100 thing. We then decided to randomly distribute them evenly, and we ended up with about 560, 570 items. We then gave them to 200 or 300 patients each, and we saw which items hung together. They not only represented the construct, the idea, the theory, but they also correlated with one another. So an item like, I hate to be around people, nobody really interests me to relate to, those correlated with one another. Other items that we theoretically put together didn't hold together. Like we may have thought, I wake up in the morning and life is boring. We thought that would correlate with another item that life is just uninteresting to me. But it turned out that they didn't correlate. For whatever reasons, they didn't. So we had to find items that correlated with one another or displayed what's called internal consistency. So all the items for the dependent after we got rid of items that didn't show that consistency were the items that remained. And we ended up with like 475 items. Well, that looked pretty good, but it's still kind of long. But we tried it out, and then we began to do what a number of people began to suggest, which is, well, an item may sound good, you may think it's good, it may even correlate with others that are of the same nature, but do they really correspond with what patients are like? Is there a external correlation between the items and what clinicians say about patients? So if we find a patient is very frightened and anxious, doesn't want to deal with people, and we describe them as avoidant personalities, do they in fact endorse those items that we thought were designed for that purpose, or do they fail to do so? Well, some of them did, and some of them didn't. Some did very well, some did okay. We began to eliminate the items that didn't hold up externally. We had a theoretically logical, we had an internally consistent, but some did not correlate externally. We got rid of those items, and what was left was a test of 175 items. That was the MCMI-1.
Dr. Theodore Milan talking about his personality theory and how it became the foundation of his assessment of personality, the Milan Clinical Multiaxial Inventory, which we know better today as the MCMI. Our conversation with Dr. Milan continues in the next episode, where we'll look more closely at how the MCMI has changed over the years and how he balanced the accuracy of the MCMI with its usability. That's next time on Into the Mind, Conversations with Dr. Theodore Milan from Pearson Clinical Assessment. For more information, visit www.pearsonclinical.com/MilanInventories.